does not matter a gnat's dick that you killed Ubba. What matters is that Odda the Younger has claimed the credit. And should his father die from his wounds, Odda becomes one of the richest men in Wessex, and men will want to praise his bravery.
My bravery?
Not a gnat's dick. The sun now shines from Odda the Younger's arsehole, and it is blinding. Do you understand me? Good. You are to do penance.
To do what?
Grovel. You are to dress like a girl, go on your knees, and be humiliated.
I won't grovel.
Then Elswith gets a wish and I pour your guts through your arse. Which will it be?
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a show dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's see how England was born. Is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I don't think I'm groveling. I don't think I'm doing it. I'm not sure if I'm going to go walk through the streets on my knees and
Listen, if it's that or your innards being pulled out through your bum, I'm groveling. I am groveling with Aethelwald's enthusiasm.
Hey, you remembered his name.
Yeah.
Look at you.
He's the only new one that I remember. But I would do it with his enthusiasm as well as his theatrics. We're pretty pumped to talk about this completely gruesome episode. Ugh, so much death. But before we do, we want to thank our friends. JoinTheNerdClan.com. You, of course, voted to make The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake possible. Thank you ever so much. And if you've been thinking about joining at JoinTheNerdClan.com, this is your chance. Join, my friends. Head on over. All right, let's get into the show.
All right, this episode was episode number 5. We are more than halfway through season 1, mm-hmm. Mary. There's only 3 episodes left.
Okay.
Very excited about that.
This is where it gets good.
This is where things start to take a turn. This is when things, you've had your inciting incident. You've had your plot mechanics. You've introduced everybody.
Killed a lot of people along the way.
Yep. And now the story is ready to start taking its foot. And I'm excited about that. For myself, yes, but also for you, because I know that this has not been a struggle necessarily for you, but it's been one of those shows that this would not have been your choice. And I know we've talked about that a couple of times here, but do you find yourself leaning, like after this big episode, do you find yourself like ready for more?
I'm ready for more. Yeah, okay. I'm officially there.
That's what I'm looking for.
What's weird is that, of course, we're watching it through Netflix, and some people were able to be introduced to The Last Kingdom through different places.
Yeah, it was on the BBC originally.
Yeah. So when I think Netflix, I'm there just to binge like Virgin River. Okay. I watch like Stars is Outlander. Like I watch certain things on certain networks and I expect like, okay, this is the mood I'm going in for. So when I hear that Netflix logo, I'm ready to just like joyfully be swept off into a show that I don't really need to pay attention to. And that is not The Last Kingdom.
Like we started that with Shadow and Bone too, right? Like we started Shadow and Bone.
And I was like, this is not a show I can fall asleep to. Like I'm supposed to pay attention. There's a lot of moving parts. All right. So it's definitely, it's just shifting my mind. But like you said, we're here and we're now in episode 5. The plot has been pushing forward like a steam train.
Yes.
And we're ready to go. So tell me a little bit more about this episode.
Yeah. Episode 5 is directed by Ben Channon. You probably don't know that name.
No.
And that is because he's done a lot of British television shows that we're probably not that familiar with. Mm-hmm. So if you are a fan of British television, you may not know his name, but you probably know some of the stuff that he's done. However, this he does have some American projects that we are aware of. One is called The Missing on Stars. That
sounds scary.
Yeah, it is a little scary. It debuted in 2016. So he went from The Last Kingdom to The Missing. And then now, actually, Ben Channon has a number of episodes that he directed on a show called The Capture. Apparently, he's very into like two-word shows.
Yeah.
It's actually debuting on Peacock. As a matter of fact, it debuted as we record this 4 days ago. So okay. if you're a fan of how this was directed, yeah. By the way, which I was.
Concur.
Go check out Ben Channon's work on The Capture on Peacock. And of course,
Peacock. I'm from Boston.
I know. And hold on, sorry.
Your cousin from Boston.
Peacock.
Peacocks.
Once again, written by Chris Bouchard, the showrunner for seasons 1 through 3 of The Last Kingdom. Marvin,
awesome.
Your Shields rating.
So, of course, we rate these episodes on a scale to 1 to 5. We ask our friends who are, of course, joining in live to let us know their rating on this episode. I give mine a 4.7. You know, just kind of like staying still the course.
You went up a notch.
Okay.
You went up a notch. Like, as you were 4.6 for most of the season so far.
Okay, yeah. So I'm there. I'm good. Once again, 4.7, really, really good.
Yeah.
If that was your grade you got in school out of a 5, you're pretty proud of yourself. So still good. Still don't love anybody. And that's
fair enough. I think Father Bianca is going to be the guy that you love. That's what I think. But we, you know what the problem is? Haven't had enough of him yet.
That's what I was just going to say. The person I loved in this episode? Older Otter. Proud of him. That's what I'll say. I didn't love him, but I was proud of him. How about you? What was your Shields rating?
I'm giving it a 4.8. This is a rare occurrence in Marion Blake media history. This happens once in a great moon where I have a higher rating than Mary. And I think I've done this now twice in this series, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
This would be showing up in your Netflix queue saying this is a show that you would like.
Yeah.
Whereas with Mary, it's like, do you want another Hallmark Christmas movie? In the middle of July.
No, God, please, no, no.
No, Michael. No! That's right, Michael. No
Sign
way.
Me up.
No!
All right, so before we get into the GBGs, we, of course, wanted to remind you that this episode is not only brought to you by our friends at jointhenerdclan.com, but also at Minute with Mary. If you've been listening to this podcast and you would like to also learn some different makeup tips and tricks, search the hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook. I would love for you to request to join my VIP group. I share all sorts of free little tips and tricks there. I know if you're watching this video, you're like, Mary, you're a hot mess express. It's okay. It's the middle of summer. My kids are home. Threw on a little lipstick, though. It made me feel a little good about myself.
Feeling fabulous right now.
So check that out. Hashtag Minute with Mary on all forms of social media, but in particular, YouTube and Facebook. All right. GBGs, our goods, our bads, and our greats for this episode.
Marvin, what do you got?
Ethelwald.
Yes.
The drunken kid who got kicked out of the monastery.
Yep.
Just taking one for the team. Like when he just turns to Uhtred and he's like, I've got this. You owe me.
Yeah. Oh, so I want to ask you that.
Okay.
Where is this coming from? Do you think?
What do you mean?
The you owe me thing. Like what does he think he's gonna get from Uhtred? And what do you think he means by you owe me?
I mean, I kind of think he means nothing. I thought he was kind of joking until later on in the scene when you see him, the camera just kind of like stays on him when Uhtred's talking with the knight.
Leofric.
And they're like, hey, maybe we should just rob everybody.
Yeah.
Like
that'd
be wicked fun. And yet, you know, Ethelwald is like out of it seems like he'd be out of earshot, but you're hanging on him. Anyway, my favorite, my good was Ethelwald taking one for the team. I don't care that he said you owe me. I loved his theatrical performance letting Uhtred, who was just absolutely clueless and out of his element, be in the clear. Yep. And then Uhtred didn't even have to like kiss the ground or kiss the cross or do anything like that. My bad. So much blood. So many gross things. I mean, between the whole like slicing of Achilles' heels of Ubba. So gross. And then just like mauling the guy who ran Uhtred and Mildred's home.
Yeah.
Mauling him with a horse and everything. Listen, to balance this out, like Outlanders kind of, you know, has its own gory moments. Game of Thrones has its own gory moments. You know, I know what balances out?
What?
Sex. If you're going to have blood and gore, I need to have sex. And when Mildred and Uhtred did not have sex while the king was in church, because remember when Uhtred and, forgetting her name, begins with a B, Brita. Remember there was like the king
was being crowned in the church.
And then Uhtred and Brita were like, whatever, we don't do church. Let's go do what we do.
You got a little rumpy
each
pump.
Other. Yep. Yes. And I was ready for Uhtred to be like, okay, he's in church. Well, I know this cool alcove, Mildred. Like,
I've been there, done that before.
Yeah, like we can chill there until he's done.
Well, you know, technically you did get some rumpy pumpy in this episode.
Not the kind that I wanted.
It was Oswald saying that it was better than Bali, baby. Better than Bali.
Oh, yuck. Yuck.
Oh, my God. Better than
that
Bali.
That needs to be a soundbite.
Oh, when, absolutely.
Can we have that as a soundbite when there is Rumpy Pumpy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And then my great
yes.
is Uhtred. Look at you, man.
Really?
Way to go.
Whoa, whoa. Time out. Marvin.
Just being the man. Swashbuckling.
You were not on the Uhtred train.
No, it's not that I'm not on the Uhtred train. I'm here for it. I don't love him, and I think he's quite naive.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. You weren't, but now all of a sudden he's your great.
This is good. Is my great.
Yeah.
I'm like, way to go. And look at you with your stealth moves of like taking pig fat through a forest and lighting it on fire.
Right.
Well done, man.
Not bad.
Still don't know how I feel about you in the sense of like, do you make wise choices all the time? But you made wise choices this night.
That ending.
Well, he didn't make a wise choice by going and telling
Alfred.
Alfred. Yeah. Ugh, come on, guys. Switch it up with these letters. By telling Alfred, like, hey, by the way, I killed Abba and this was all my idea. You're welcome. So see, like, he like isn't smart. He is impatient.
He's rash.
And rash. And sometimes his ideas work out really, really well. And I do think he's very strong. And I think he has great knowledge of the Danes, but he has zero knowledge of how to work with the Saxons.
Yeah,
so,
none.
How about you?
He's got no tact. No tact.
None.
Out on tact.
None.
All right. My good is, you know me, Mary. I am all for, you know, a lot of people say they don't like the showy things. They don't like the look at me moments when it comes to direction, like the big fancy camera shots and movements. And
who are these people?
They're dead to me because there's nothing like a look at me moment and say, look.
Give me an example of a look at me moment from this episode. Then break it down.
I will tell you that incredible shot of the Saxons who are Uhtred and Otto the Elder and Leofric and the other jabroni with the knights. They're looking out over. It starts in the cave and it tracks up and it's like it looks like a drone shot, you know, obviously. And the shot lifts up and then turns around and circles around the Saxons to show the Vikings. And it's not just that it's a cool shot because. It is.
It's beautiful.
But it gives you a perfect view of exactly what is happening, where they are, where the high ground is, where the low ground is, where the ships are, where the Saxons are going to be, and that there's this valley that they're going to have to meet at. And it starts by introducing the cave, which they will meet at later on in the episode. It gives you a layout of exactly what you are looking for, and it continues the spectacular direction of this episode. And keep this in mind,
okay?
Because it's going to come back. It's going to come back. My bad. All of a sudden, is Leofric talking to
Leofric? Knight.
He's the knight. He's the one that calls him an Arsling. All of a sudden, just comes out to Uhtred and says, yeah, you know what we should do? You know what's a wicked good idea?
Let's just go turn around and be bad guys.
Let's go be bad guys for like a little bit. I mean, you know, you can't go, you can't do it here because, you know, you can't, you don't mess up your nest, right?
No, I mean, like learn from the hamsters. You don't poop where you eat.
Right. However, they're going to go out and do it to the Britons, you know, in the areas that they are.
Okay.
All of a sudden, this just comes out of nowhere.
Hey.
And
he might put on a black leather jacket and turn bad guy.
And I mean, after all the interactions that Leah Fritch has had this entire time, he's been very like loyal and very like doing the right thing. And like, he may not like it, but he still does it. Like, for example, when he protects Otto the Younger against Uhtred and puts the sword next to his next to Uhtred's neck and says, "Hey, okay, stop. Everybody chill out." All of a sudden, he's just been like, "Yeah, we're going to go plunder."
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
I've got a theory about that.
Fair enough. I just feel like this is a big character turn that drops like a needle. You got
just
your
give
theory.
It to me.
Okay, hold on. Let me
hate
get my
to the end.
I know. Good point. Let me get my sound here for you.
Okay.
Because you caught me off guard.
I know.
Here it is.
Because I agree. You've been kind of like trying to be a good guy, do the right thing, you know, making sure like, okay, like let's do the right thing. What if he is being paid by young Otter to get Uhtred in more trouble, to catch him getting red-handed? You know, like, once again, I think about the character that he reminds me in Game of Thrones, forgetting his name, but he kind of double-crossed Tyrion. You know, even though he was friends with Tyrion, he ended up double-crossing for the payment. So what if Leofric with Aethelwald.
Yep.
Because remember, we had that little look. So what if Aethelwald and Leofric are in on something? Like, let's get Uhtred in trouble, because that will actually help us benefit.
And that
what
help
if we're able to
Otto the Younger.
Yes.
Yep.
And then we can get some money and we can get some clout in society if we're able to get Uhtred in trouble.
Mary, you know what you deserve?
What?
Absolutely. Good job. Good thinking. That's some Slytherin thinking from you.
It's out of character from what we
You're a wizard, Harry.
Good job. Excellent
okay.
job.
What's All your right. great?
My great, though, my great is, of course, the direction of the fight scene between Ubba and Uhtred. Everything about it is spectacular.
It's so gross.
First, it being the two fighting in front of the burning ships. Like, that is chef's kiss. I mean... Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. The direction for the entire fight scene, you knew exactly where you were. You knew where the placement was. You could feel the intensity. Ubba just screaming.
Yeah!
and then the practical effects of the Achilles heel. Like, that's a practical effect.
Well, you know, it's funny because there was that shot of Ubba having no shoes on and, like, seeing his bare feet. And, you know, even Uhtred is like, don't you want to get some clothes on or shoes on or something?
Yep.
And we see his bare feet.
Yep.
And had Ubba had proper boots on,
probably wouldn't have happened.
Probably wouldn't have been that bad.
But lastly, I think the most important part of this entire fight scene, aside from the fight scene, is the conclusion of the fight scene. That being when Uhtred finally defeats Ubba and he gives him his axe and he walks away, his axe too. He walks away and he realizes, oh, wait, hold on. All these Vikings are here.
That wasn't the easy button I thought it was going to be.
This is going to be bad news.
I probably should have run when that like one brunette guy saw me.
Yeah. So the shot of Uhtred backing up, and then out of the darkness, mm-hmm. the Saxon army comes and he disappears into the darkness. The Saxon army moves forward. You hear shield wall. You hear kill the bastards and the whole thing. And Uhtred just takes like a big deep breath in, and it... The visual language of this is telling you Uhtred is now one of them.
Yes.
And he can now rest. And he can now move on to his Saxon upbringing. Mm-hmm. And okay, this is the whole deal. But then it is totally undone and juxtaposed by what happens to him later on in the episode when he has to grovel. So when I'm talking about the direction, I'm talking about theme, I'm talking about the art, the artistic value, the actual placement of the cameras, the camera movements. This show is so well directed that it's one of the most well directed shows I've seen.
Wow.
Absolutely. Like, without a doubt.
Snaps to that.
The only thing I will say, though, Mary, is the inconsistency in the lighting. And actually, you are the one who called this out.
I even pointed it out.
So I want you to talk about this.
Okay. So when young and old Otter, which I'm just going to call them Otter because
yeah,
I don't care.
That's fine.
They're overlooking the area to see if Uhtred has lit the ships on fire. And young Otter even says it's almost daybreak.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should understand the light that should be going on. And if there were fires near them, if they're, you know, if they had fires near the tents and near their setup or whatever, it should have had more of a fiery orangey glow. Young Otter and old Otter, as they're looking out, realizing, yes, Uhtred, in fact, did set the ships on fire, they're lit up with as white of a light of sunlight. And it just is so bright that it doesn't make you think this is happening at nighttime, this is in the middle of the night, or that it is, but it's still like lit by something that would have made sense at this kind of campsite. Right.
What they're trying to mimic is moonlight, really. That's what it comes down to.
But it was like straight in their face, not from above. It looked like it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was well lit. However, you're right. It is inconsistent. It's too well lit. It should have been darker. Now, are you going to be talking like...
I wasn't feeling that way, though, when Uhtred was in the camp.
Right. It felt different because there was the yellow hues from the fires, and there was a little smattering of moonlight, almost like it was refracting off of the lake or the water or whatever. That made sense to me. But the way that you're right, that young and old Otter were,
and for me to notice it,
yeah, that's pretty telling. That is pretty telling. So go back and watch that if you get a chance, and see the inconsistencies in the lighting. Right. You know, Mary, you talked about not liking anybody quite yet, and we discussed what's his name, Father Bjarke. But I want to get your take on Mildred. What is your take on Mildred? Are you in or you out?
Let me tell you, who run the world? Girls. Like, why is nobody listening to Mildred? She's saying all the right things to Uhtred. She's saying, you just need to calm down. You need to not run into church.
Yep.
You know, just like Brita. I mean, I don't love the queen, but she's running the world too. Mm-hmm. You know it. She was able to fan that flame. So I don't love Mildred, but I'm proud of her. I'm proud of this young woman. I mean, she looks so young too. You're sitting there and you're seeing her in comparison.
She looks like she's 18.
Yes, yes. And she might be, you know, in this show. She just looks so young and still like innocent of heart and kind and genuine and is able to stand up to Uhtred, even though like he's just come back and everyone thought he was dead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of Mildred. I don't think she's long in this world.
I don't think she's long for this world either. I'm telling you, something.
Probably gonna get sick or something.
She'll get sick, or you know,
step on a something. I think something like tragic, but not necessarily being killed.
Yeah, like not necessarily anybody's fault.
Yeah,
and that will
like bit by a snake.
Yeah, and that will play into that whole thing of. Like that.
Does Uhtred's baby get sick too? Do both Uhtred's baby and wife die from sickness?
Oh, that is
so sad.
Hey, traveling through all this rain and all that. I know they got a canopy.
Well, then he's free to travel. Because let's be real, if you've got a wife and a baby, you really can't be like switching sides every other episode. Right. Am I a Dane? Am I a Saxon? Am I a Dane? I'm a Saxon. And he wants to go on this big journey. I'm sorry, buddy. You settled down.
Yeah. You got what you got.
I bet you his wife and baby are going to get sick and die. Or like get burned. Oh my god, if the Danes come and burn his family like his other family was burned. Here you go. Look at me just dropping bombs.
All of the Destined
like
to Be theories.
Story's going to rev everybody up and be like, let's burn his family.
Mary.
I'm telling you, watch out. Watch out, Mildred, with your fire red hair.
I know. What happens though? I mean, like
Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
I like. Okay, so they're at their house, and
you can't have a baby on a show like this. They cry. You can't travel with
apparently
them.
Apparently, you can on The Walking Dead. Quietest baby ever.
Yeah, but they didn't have pacifiers back then. Uhtred can't be like making secret maneuvers. I don't think.
What was her name? Charlotte. Was that her name, baby Charlotte?
I don't even care about the Walking Dead baby because she was so fake to me. No baby is that quiet. Zombie would have eaten you. Sorry, but that's my feelings on Mildred. I like her. She's not long for this world. I think she does definitely die by the end of the season, and I think the baby dies,
well,
too.
Let's talk about the big thing here, which is Uhtred's treatment of Oswald. I mean, better than barley is one thing, but... You know, when you go and...
He warned him. He said, my home is not your home. Next time I catch you...
You treat me like a fool again, I'm going to kill you.
Hey.
And you know what? I'm not mad at him.
What's that thing like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I felt bad because this guy did get smoked. And a horse stomped on him. And... is it a little much for, you know, selling trees? Probably. Like, but he did get a warning. And I don't think I'm mad about it. Like, I know people are going to look at this and say, oh, Uhtred's bad, or Uhtred made a bad choice. He probably was a bad choice. Could have made a better choice. Could have rethought that.
I also think, though, he's kind of setting the stage, because if Oswald was stealing when they were gone, Uhtred's gone a lot, okay? Who knows how much these people are stealing? And he has a lot of debt. Not saying it's the right thing. Murder is not a right thing. No. I live in 2021. I'm not saying if someone steals from me that I'm going to, like, run over them with a horse. But what I am saying is that, like, this is his livelihood. He has a massive debt. He has to take care of now his wife and his child. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a good feeling about Oswald from the get-go.
Yep.
Then he catches him having sex in his bed. Are you kidding me? I would have fired him right then and there.
Yeah.
And yet he gave them the benefit of the doubt, and now he's stealing from him. And Lord knows he's been stealing from him all along.
Yeah. I think HR would have been proud of him until the death moment. HR would have been okay.
You know, I think he just did like what a Dane would do at that moment.
Yeah. And that's when he's showing his Dane roots. And
Mildred will have a problem with this, though.
I gotta have a problem with this. And it's almost hard not to blame Uhtred, not just because he warned him at the beginning of the episode after it was better than Barley, right? But also because Uhtred just went through this legitimately traumatizing walk through town, getting food thrown at him and mud and probably cow crap.
And then wasn't given the due diligence that he actually killed the most famous warrior of the Danes.
Yeah, and he did it.
Yes.
And not only did he have to go through this, but there were members of the Saxons that Uhtred actually truly undeniably trusts, which is Father Bjarke and Leo Fritsch. And if you wanted to make a case for the other jabroni knight, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
But the one who talks about how the sun's shining from young Otter's arse.
Yeah. Like, they all know what went down.
Yeah. And yet none of them stand up.
None of them speaks up. Father Bjarke wasn't there, but regardless.
But he has no friends. He's got nobody to have his back.
Yeah. Like, these people that he trusts, and they are very few. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are just like, okay, even Father Bjarke is like, now you got to kiss the cross. Like, what kind of betrayal is that? And there is a total rejection of all things Saxon, whether it be kissing the cross and asking for forgiveness, or it is, what's it called?
The baptism?
Baptizing his kid. Or even then, rejecting his wife, saying he's going to go whoring because he loves kids. Like,
theme of the episode.
Hey, you know what? Not a bad theme. If I'm going to pick one.
No, I mean, it actually wasn't the theme of this episode, Blake.
No, it wasn't.
Murder was.
That's true. But how far can you go? How far are you willing to go? I would suggest that's probably one of these things.
I wouldn't go that far. And that's the problem. Like, Uhtred, I just don't know. The other thing, if Mildred isn't dead, I wonder if Mildred, like, runs off with young Otter. If this just pushes her away and she's like, you know what, we can just tell everybody that this is your baby.
Yeah, good point.
You know, that gets crazy. I don't want to stay in his house. He does crazy, terrible things.
So this episode, I think, is just an incredible visual episode.
Agreed.
And it continues on with the tradition, I think, of the direction, mm-hmm, and the cinematography, or the photography, the direction of the photography, like the lighting and everything. Mm-hmm. I think it continues on with that mode, but I think there are a number of small items that I would love to just reference and just get your thoughts on.
Okay.
Leo Fritsch is, I think, my favorite character. He drops the perfect arseling, mm-hmm, comment every once in a while, like, it's just perfect placement every single time. And then he says to Uhtred, wow, you're back and you're back from the dead and still unchanged after he assaults
young Otter.
And he's like, all you had to do was get off your horse and ask, hey,
where's my wife?
Have you seen my wife? Like, where you been? And then he also does, again, the right thing in protecting young Otter, going up to Uhtred, putting the sword right next to his neck, and says, listen, back up, because what are we doing here? I love this character. Do you love him as much as I do or not?
Listen, man, when you love somebody that much, you're not supposed to.
Good point.
People that are right there in your face and you're like, oh my God, you're my fit. Nope. Nope. I don't trust him.
But that's kind of why I like the character. Because he is very much Bronn.
Yeah, good for you, Slytherins. Unite. Like, whatevs. No thank
you. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I'm still sticking with Father Bjorka.
Yep, sure, fair enough. Ubba screaming at Uhtred.
All in.
At the negotiation.
If I was a Dane, I think I would have been Ubba.
You totally would have been Ubba. Absolutely. Because Ubba towers over people.
Yes.
And you would absolutely tower over people. Screaming your face off. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need shoes.
What are you going to do about it?
Whatevs, man. Give him a shield, though. Let's be fair. Like, give him a shield.
Let him have a sword. It's fine.
Yeah, I got this.
You know, the funny thing is I thought that Uhtred was going to take his shoes off, too, to, like, match him so that there's
they did that.
I know. But I think that the moment that Ubba screams at Uhtred in the negotiation
in the cave area,
I feel like it was unscripted. Because when you look at Alexander Draymond's like Uhtred's reaction to Ubba.
He's almost like choking back a laugh.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
But a genuine laugh. I think he got spat on. I don't think it was the yelling.
Yeah.
I think it was being spat on from Ubba. And you see him like kind of wipe it. And granted, it's would be genuine within the characters with Ubba screaming and Uhtred kind of chuckling it off. But I think that was an authentic thing that happened. I think Ubba spat on him, the actors who portray them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you see him
like
backstab.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You are into this, man.
Calm. I know you like method acting, bro, but calm down.
This is the next level.
And in that scene, there's also a great line where Uhtred says, Ubba is the greatest warrior I've ever seen. And that is perfect because not only do we get this characterization of Ubba when he's screaming and doing the whole yelling and Uhtred is purposely jabbing him, but you get the weight of what happens later on when Uhtred finally does take Ubba down and you recognize, holy smokes.
Uhtred's a big deal.
That's a big deal what this happens. And the amount of respect that Uhtred has for Ubba, you know, he's the closest thing to a king that the Danes have at this moment. And he should be buried with his axe. And, you know, and of course, he's not, by the way,
young Otter, man. It's like, what are you going to do with that axe? It's all covered in blood. You're probably just going to like throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew.
Speaking of young Otter, there is also this great line between Uhtred and older Otter. If this succeeds, Lord, you will have saved Wessex. I like this because it sets up the confrontation between Uhtred and Otter the Younger, because Uhtred was okay with Otter the Elder just having the credit for saving Wessex by doing this maneuver of firing the ships. There's going to be a fight, and if they win, Otto the Younger, even though he was so indecisive, and that great tension of the decision of, do I invade or not? Do I leave? Do I listen to my kid? Do I listen to Uhtred? He was okay with Otto the Elder having the credit, but Otto the Younger, he is absolutely not okay.
Okay.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Is that a character flaw? Is that something that... it's just because it's Otter the Younger and he wants to piss him off.
I mean, that's what I think. I think it's just like, whatever, it's younger Otter. Like, that's what you get.
Yep, got it.
You get what you get.
Lastly, another thing that this show does is that it trusts its audience. And I'm so happy that it does. Because it's showing the pig fat and it's showing the pig heads and how it's all coming down and using the intestines and the fat and the grease and everything and how that is used. And when you put water on it, it erupts when it's a flame.
It's a grease fire. Yeah.
And you're watching this and you're watching the people tend to the fires as they're waiting. And like, it's the waiting game. And then all of a sudden, I remember Mary being like, why are we, what is this? Like, what does this mean? What are we doing?
Why are we watching this fire moment?
And then, of course, it does show up later on in the episode. I love that this show trusts its audience.
He doesn't say, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
I watched the pig fat. And when you add water to the burning pig fat, it actually makes a bigger mess.
Right.
He doesn't have to say any of that.
I really like that. I really like that. Because in shows that were not confident in its storytelling, it would have been like, here's a lesser show. A lesser show shows this. And then Leah Fritch comes up and says, hey, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I was just watching this lady and she put this thing over there and that's how I'm going to do this. Because obviously they're going to want to put water on it and the whole thing's going to go. It would have had that exposition mm-hmm. moment, that expository moment. And we don't get that. We just see the action. And again, it's showing you that Uhtred is rash. He's making these decisions. Just
not always, but sometimes can be. Has the potential to be.
Well, I mean, this is a rash decision. Like, he's going down to the ships behind the enemy lines and going to light these things on fire with zero abandon. Like, he's just going to show up, light them on fire, and hope that the Saxons show up.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
Like, that's a rash decision.
That is. I'm thinking the thought of, like, I'm going to burn these, and then I know they're going to put water on it. I thought that was well thought out.
Yep, absolutely. Anything else that you want to talk about in this episode, Marvin?
Because I took a couple little wee bits of notes.
Okay, what do you got?
Yeah, as I said, I liked that Ethelwald. I just was... Give him a solid. I don't want to be his best friend. I don't trust him whatsoever. But I just thought, you know what? You're entertaining. You've annoyed me in all these other episodes. But I see where it's going on. I did like the humor in this episode.
Yes.
You know, that was dropped by that other knight. The knight that we just don't know his name. Bless his little heart. The sun shines out of Otter the Younger's arsehole. And it is blinding. You know?
It is blinding. The way that he enunciates it is great.
Yes, and it is blinding. And I loved seeing older Otter when you were talking about that drone shot coming from above and how he's wearing this like beautiful blue, kind of like a cobalt blue cape. And it almost made me think of like Mother Mary or whatever. You know, just like, oh, this is a good guy. And I just thought like, oh, He's gonna stand by his word. He has to stand by his word, and he did.
Wolf here is the knight's name. You know, another thing that I have here too is Alfred. Like, I'm not in love with Alfred. However, when Uhtred does walk into church and he shows up and he does draw his sword. And again, this is talking about his rash decision-making. Shows his sword.
I mean, he's not trying to like threaten
the king.
No, but
he unsheathes his sword.
Yes, and he doesn't know.
You're not supposed to do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Do you think the punishment that Alfred gives is too much for Uhtred? A man who is supposed to be an elderman, a man who is supposed to be his ally, and who has done nothing but prove...
I think it was a proper punishment. You
really?
Came in here with all these people and it's my quiet time in my church. You could have waited 5 minutes. You could have at least come in and been like, excuse me. You didn't have to come in and blow everything all up and take out your sword. No, I think him having to do the go through the streets and get food thrown at him is perfectly fine.
Do you now at the end of this episode, there is a final conclusion made by Uhtred that what he has done to Oswald, now that is justice. Is it an injustice what Alfred does, and is it okay to juxtapose that kind of injustice against the justice that that Uhtred finally
I think
does?
Alfred doesn't realize that Uhtred is a queen chess piece. I think Alfred sees Uhtred as like a rook. You know, like you're basic. Maybe an annoying knight. Like, oh God, I just don't know which way you're going to go. Like, I do not
think... Do I do the one move up and three left? Or do I do the three? Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing with this one? So I just don't think he realizes the power and the magnitude of Uhtred. And it doesn't help that Uhtred isn't given the credit for defeating Ubba, for coming up with this idea. Yeah. I think if he really did know the truth, if any of those people spoke up, if any of the Saxon warriors spoke up, then Alfred probably would have handled things differently. But for right now, it's like, I don't know how you survived. Remember, because you were like, they even ask that, you know, like how, I think it's older Otter says, you come to me when you're thinking it's clear, come to me when you're thinking it's clear and explain to me why you're still breathing.
Yeah.
And stupid. Like, yeah, why are you here? So, you know, for Alfred to even be like, you're alive, you shouldn't be, because everyone else was killed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you got up. And I don't know why you're here. But everyone else said that they fought, they killed Ubba, and they've been here for an extra day. So, hi.
Yep.
Why are you showing up in my church with the sword out? So I don't think it was unreasonable for him to do what he ended up doing to
Uhtred.
Uhtred.
Okay. Last question I have for you is, what is going to happen with all of Ubba's men? Does Guthrum come up and into the power vacuum and lead, Ubba's men into battle and do the thing that he needs to do to take over all of Saxony? Not Saxony, but the Saxons and Wessex? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what happens if Guthrum does that or not.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
That is an old YouTube.
Yes.
That's an old YouTube poll right there. Good job, Mary. Good job. You know what? I will even give you this.
Nerd!
You're welcome. Anything else you'd like to say about this episode?
Nope.
All right. Well, we have, in fact, given you, I think, three or four destined to be theories of the weeks. No, we gave three.
Mildred's going to be burned in a house with her baby, possibly, or like killed somehow, you know, like dead. Goodbye. You got to go. Leofric is double crossing. And that's that scoop.
And then there was another one, too. I know there was another one.
And that, that the Danes are going to come and burn Uhtred's wife.
Yeah, but there was another one after that, too. I can't remember what it is. But since we've given you two or three, I think we will just cut the episode at the end here. Are you ready to close out?
I am.
Let's do it.
I'm proud of myself for actually hearing theories.
You know what? Oddly enough, Mary, again, is finding her footing with this show. But do you know how often she has theories for other shows? Never. Zero. Zilch. It never happens. But for a show that she's still finding her footing, we're getting a lot of good theories, Marvin. You've given me like three or four gems.
Hey, that's what I do.
All right, let's close it out, shall we?
Yes. Thank you all so incredibly much for, of course, tuning in to this, The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. We, of course, want to thank our beloved members at jointhenerdclan.com for making all this possible and for supporting this mom and pop podcast. If this podcast brings you joy, you can join for as little as $2 a month. It truly makes a huge difference. You know, we run this whole studio and our site and everything. So just know that your contributions really, really mean the world to Blake and I.
Just want to say also to go to maryandblake.com to check out all the great podcasts that we have going on actively right now. We have Outlandercast going on. We have the Potterverse going on. We have this one and the MCU Diaries. For those of you who are fans of the MCU Diaries, I've taken a little bit of a break, even though Loki has finally concluded. And it's just because we have some things going on here. We got some health stuff happening here, and we only have so much bandwidth. So, thank you for your patience as it relates to the MCU Diaries. But do go to maryandblake.com and check us out on all of our social media. We have some great new video stuff that Mary is putting together that we're very proud of.
Slowly putting together. So, yeah, don't get your hopes up too much, but definitely make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Of course, all these videos do go up on YouTube as well, but you're going to want to make sure you're following us on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget, we do have an exclusive Facebook community.
Yes.
Just search Mary and Blake and request to join that group. We would love to have you. And on that note, ladies and gents, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
That was quite.
That was a little, you know, it was emphatic.
It was very emphatic. Destiny is all.